Please be seated, won't you? Good morning. When I was sometime in my second or third year of college, I had done some work for my grandparents and dug through one of the closets in my grandmother's upstairs. It's the kind of closet that you put things in that you just can't quite part with, but you never really look at. Do you know what I'm talking about? Boxes upon boxes of things gathered over 90 years of their life together. And I remember discovering a treasure trove of old newspapers. And we're not talking old as in 1950s, but old as in turn of the century. And I remember kind of looking through them in their very gentle state and coming upon the advertisements. And sometimes you'll go into places and you'll see these kind of plastered around restaurants or different places looking for an environment. But advertisement after advertisement for some gadget or some elixir that would cure everything. So there was Dr. So-and-so's elixir that to cures all ills. If you're feeling sick, feeling down, feeling this, take this. Of course, if you know your history, you'll know that most of those things had opium in them or something like that. But this is before all that was illegal. But time after time, or if you have, if your back hurts, put this contraption on, it'll cure it all, or different things like that. And we get that because we think of a snake oil salesman sometimes is what we might kind of call that. And I remember seeing that and being astounded and asking my grandma about it. She says, oh, yeah, there are always these things, and people come through, and they'd have their carts, and, you know, everybody would buy it, and it didn't help anybody. And, you know, they'd just kind of this real cynical piece to my grandmother. And I was, when I was preparing the sermon, I was reading this about dishonest wealth or the shrewd manager. And I think how often when we read a gospel like this, we'll say, well, we know somebody like that, or we heard of somebody in the paper like that, and maybe we don't always think how close at home it might be. Any of you ever get on the internet? Right. Are there any snake oil salesmen these days? All kinds of things that you can find, and part of the fun, I think, of what happens is every once in a while a video will come around that will show something that happens, and it'll start, if you're on enough, it starts getting passed around. So people start forwarding it to each other. If you're on social media, it gets put out there. And it'll get sort of like, this really happened. And sometimes it's such outlandish claims. Or it's a video that's just not quite right. You know, it doesn't look spontaneous enough, yet it could be real. And then everyone starts to kind of say that this is really the real deal. And so part of that is, isn't hard to figure out what's true. Isn't hard to figure out where the truth is sometimes in our life. Because isn't there a false hope where we really want to believe that certain things will cure it all? That if we do just the right thing, it will fix whatever's wrong with us. And that even outlandish stories, it'd be nice if they were true, even though they might not be. I think if we think about that a little bit, we might get an insight into what Jesus is beginning to talk about in this gospel, about the shrewd manager and the sometimes we deal more cleverly with the current generation than with the things that God would have us deal with. I had a friend whose mother was a psychologist, and she used to run little experiments on my friend's friends. So she'd have us come over, and sometimes she'd do stuff. And none of us were really wise enough to kind of know what was going on. But I remember one time we went over, 15 of us there, and she handed us all Tootsie Pops. You remember those? You know, how many licks does it get to the center of the Tootsie Pop? So she hands us all these suckers. And so she hands them all to us. We all come in, and we're just sitting around the living room having this conversation and enjoying our time. And, you know, and we all liked this particular mom quite a bit. And some of the kids, you know, quickly go through the Tootsie Pot. They, you know, they get it, they bite into it, they chew it up, it's gone. Some of the kids kind of take their time at it, but eventually just can't stand it and go right through it. And then a few just kind of put it away. They didn't really want that particular candy, or they'd save it for later. Just, you know, they just had something to eat, so they kind of put it in their pockets. And there's probably some variables in there of different things like that. And then she's sitting there, she says, I just want to point something out. She says, now all of you who took the sucker and ate it right away, she says, you have an issue with compulsion. you're too compulsive in your life. You can't wait for anything, and you really need help. She's kind of joking, by the way. But she's sitting there. She's just got this kind of, you're just too quick. She says, those of you who started to work on it and then just couldn't stand it, you really need to work on your patience. You're not patient enough for what you're doing. And then she says, for those of you, if you put the sucker in your pocket, you're saving it for later, you can date my daughter. Because you clearly can save and can deal with, she called it delayed gratification, so you could put off the gratification. I remember that night. It just sticks out to me because it was really funny and silly, and we all got a kick out of it. And she would often do these kinds of things to us. And there was a part of that when I started thinking about how easily we might jump in to truth, or how easily we might not wait long enough to figure things out, or how we might not want to really have that patience that might be required. So maybe it's easier for us to get fooled than we think. There's a gospel that I think goes around that's a false gospel. And it goes something like this, and you probably heard it on some TV preachers or some radio preachers. It says something like, if you pray and are faithful enough, God will bless you, and then what? The 5:30 crowd got it. What's the next piece of the argument? What's the evidence of God's blessing? Money. Then you'll have lots of money. So if you don't have lots of money, what does that mean? You haven't prayed enough, or you're not faithful enough, right? So you need to go back and do what? Pray and be faithful, and then God will bless you, and you'll have what? Lots of money. And then if you still don't have a lot of money, then what? You're supposed to go back and pray, right? And study, and then give lots of money at this address, through this phone number, and then what? Well, then God will certainly bless you. Then what happens if that doesn't happen? Well, you haven't prayed hard enough, and you haven't given enough. You see the cycle that goes there. It's a simple telling. It's something called the prosperity gospel, and you'll hear it. And usually the folks on top of that are what? They're getting pretty wealthy in the process. And I think it's important for us as Christians to recognize that as not really the gospel. That really isn't how God's blessing works. It really isn't how faith works. What the gospel is what we hear in the scripture for today. There's a little quip in there that I think is really meaningful. Those who are honest in a little can be honest in those things that are great. Those who are dishonest in a little will be dishonest with those that are great. It's about faith. And at the end, we hear that you can't serve two masters. You can't serve wealth and God at the same time. And what Jesus is really getting at is not so much the dollars in your pocket as much as what you're driven by. What drives you? What compels you in your life? Earlier in that gospel, we're told of the gifts. The steward has gifts to oversee. The great manager who's going to fire the shrewd manager, the owner, so to speak, is God. The manager is us. And we are to manage the gifts that we're given. So a gift might be a gift to be able to run a business really well. A gift might be to speak different languages. A gift might be to be an amazing teacher or a gifted musician. The gift might be to be a mother or father. The gift might be to be a good friend or to have many friends. A gift might be to be a lawyer or to be a cook or to be someone who can make the earth grow things that might produce food for others. There are so many gifts that we could have, the gift to teach, the gift to learn, the gift, all these gifts. And we're given these gifts by God. And the challenge is, how do we use them? How do we put them to work so that they might be used to further God and not just ourselves? To me, that's really at the heart at this particular gospel. If you think of the gifts as the Tootsie Pops or whatever, you can see how we might squander them really quickly, or we might use them wisely, or we might be able to really see the best way we can come to using them. It might be that we have the ability to do so much with the gifts that we're given to impact other people's lives. It's whether we really want to choose to do that. So maybe as you go through your week this week, it's to think about that. Think about the snake oil salesman. Think about the false gospels. Think about the gifts that you're given. And if you're allowing yourself, or if you're committed to really using them to further God's kingdom. It's amazing to see people really go after their gifts, to really use them for the benefits of others. I bet if you thought about it long enough in your life, you know the outstanding teachers that you wish every kid could have. You know the outstanding doctors that can seem to be able to help anyone through all the difficulties. You know the outstanding people who seem to be able to create job after job through their incredible leadership of companies. You know the outstanding parents that we all wish we could emulate. You know those people that really use the gifts to their fullest. It might be for us to be inspired and to be encouraged. I think that's what Jesus is asking us, to use our gifts. So who do you serve? And what gifts can you use? Amen.